All righty, we're excited today about what God's doing in each of our hearts. You know, last week we looked at the idea of just do it. You know, sometimes we pull back from God, but I wanted to kind of tie in something today. The idea, we're going to look today at the topic of significance. Significance and how important it is that we see ourselves in the realm of what God's plan is. I think from time to time we all have certain feelings. Hopefully we don't live with these feelings day to day because they would probably destroy us. But, you know, I think we can all be honest that have you ever felt sometimes like life has no meaning? You know, just no meaning at all? Or do you ever wonder, you know, if it would be if you'd be missed if you were gone? If anybody'd even miss you? Or how about the idea that sometimes do you wonder if maybe even it would have been better if you had never been born? You know, those kind of thoughts are destructive. And sometimes they can come into our lives, especially if we have a series of situations that kind of come our way. That kind of, you know, maybe we have health issues or maybe, you know, emotional issues, different things that go on. And over a process or a series of time, we can really get discouraged and really get down. And I think it's times like that that we have to remember who we are. Who are we? And I think we're going to be able to straighten some of that out today. The passage the Lord dropped on my heart is found in Numbers chapter 13, and it's verse 30 to 33. And it's talking about the children of Israel when they had just come out of Egypt and they were heading towards the promised land, and this was their first attempt, which they failed. It says in verse 30, "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us.' So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, and are part of the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were there in their sight.'" Let's pray. Father God, we honor you today. We thank you so much for your presence to be in our midst, Lord. We thank you that we just want to draw from you today. We thank you for the power of your Spirit just to be here, being able to reveal to us truth. Lord, the Word says the truth shall set us free, and we know that we want to be free. And Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, many of you know this story. Some it may be fresh for, but the children of Israel were God's chosen people. They were the ones that God had put his hand upon, and through that people, the Messiah was to come. Now, in the process of that, you know, there was a famine in the land, and so they went down to Egypt and they ended up staying there. It was prophesied that they would stay there some 400 years, and then it was time to come out. Now, when it started out, things were good, but then over a process of time, the Egyptians started to get intimidated because the people of Israel were blessed people. They started to multiply and they started to, you know, show, you know, great promise, shall we say, in their lives. And it intimidated their people that ended up being their captors, shall we say. So then what had happened is that, you know, God had showed up after that things got kind of bad with Moses. And that's kind of where we're going to look at this a little bit. Because these people that were setting on the border of the land that God had promised them to go, they were the chosen ones. They were the ones that God had called out from all the other people of the earth. And to be honest, you and I are, shall we say, chosen. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, you've stepped in to your destiny of what God has for you. And we need to see ourselves in a different light. Now, what I want us to look at today is the idea that we are significant. Now, some people feel insignificant in this earth. They feel small. Now, the word significant is talking about important. Do you feel important? Now, we know there's some people that feel overly important. We all probably know one of those guys, right? They think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. But I think for the most part, you and I, from time to time, will go through a season where we feel insignificant, where we don't feel important. And that's a dangerous place to be because we can lose our way. And God wants us to stay on track and make sure we get to where we need to be. And these people who were part of God's plan that God had sent to Egypt to kind of hide them away for a while, and then things got real bad, and he called them out because they had a destined purpose from God to go in and to possess that land and to be able to take it and to subdue it. And God had led them to that place finally. But they fell back. They felt insignificant. Due to the task in front of them, they felt unimportant. And they lost sight of what really they were supposed to do. You know, you and I also are significant to God's plan. As God called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, you know, God has a specific task or plan for your life. And sometimes we know what that plan is, sometimes we don't. And it's up to us to be able to find that out. Now, God wants to reveal it to us, but for the most part, you and I have to do a little investigating. We have to start checking things out and start to try things and start to be involved. And then, you know, I believe God will lead us by His Spirit to get us to, you know, where He wants us to be so that we can learn, you know, a lot of things for Him. Now, it's hard to see that sometimes, but, you know, the children of Israel, part of the problem, we're going to look at really got them into this mindset, and then we're going to look at how we can get out of it. Now, they had just come out of a bad relationship. Most of us know what a bad relationship is, right? You know, they were there doing their job, but then all of a sudden, the Egyptians made slaves out of them. And their responsibility bends the Egyptians, you know, they wanted to build the pyramids and the Sphinx and all that stuff. You know, they needed slave labor. So they took control of the people of Israel and made them make bricks. So they took dirt and water and straw and all these things and they, you know, did whatever they had to do to make these bricks so they could build things. And they were taken advantage of. And after you do that, for a process of time, you start to look at life a little different. After you've been in a bad relationship, and I know a lot of people that have been in bad relationships, and before you know it, it just changes their identity. It changes their self-image of who they really are. What used to be a happy, bubbling person is now a, you know, somebody that's just a sourpuss and down and negative on everything. Because circumstances come in and it just took control of their whole emotions and destroyed them. And that's kind of what happened to these people. And even worse than that, now that's bad. They started to murder their male babies. The Egyptians were so intimidated by them. They were afraid that the Israelites were going to rise up as an army and overtake them. The Pharaoh passed a law that all the male babies had to be put to death. Now that's a bad thing. So here, just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, it got worse. Right? It got worse. Here you are, you have no control over your life. And now, this is happening. Well, during that process, it got to the place where they never experienced any victory in their life. No victory. Day in, day out. Make bricks, taking babies away from them, destroyed their self-image. Well, that's who these people were. Well, then something changed. Then God, right? We know God came in the situation. Well, praise God, everything's going to change now, right? Their circumstances changed, but what was in them didn't. And that's what I want us to see today. Because then God showed up with Moses, the man of God. God called Moses, And when Moses came on the situation, we know that he started to do some miracles and all these things. And I'm sure the people of Israel go, wow, look at this. I've never seen this before. I've seen Pharaoh's magic arts and things. But, you know, the Israelite God, he's a little tougher. He started showing them up. The God maybe started getting a little excitement. And Pharaoh, the more Israel got, you know, started to see things, and all of a sudden Pharaoh got meaner and meaner. And we know that the 10 plagues came. All these things came in their life. They experienced some of them, then God maybe made a separation at the end where the firstborn was going to die. As long as you had the blood on the lintel, you was okay. Well, then God brought them a deliverance. They finally got free from Pharaoh. And not only did they get free, they plundered Egypt for back pay. It said when they left Egypt, the Egyptians gave them all kinds of trinkets and goods and money and things just to get them out of here. Back pay. Okay, things are looking up, right? I'm not a slave no more. All that work I've done, now I got some stuff. Most people like stuff, right? We all want some stuff. I mean, be honest. You like to have stuff. We all do. Well, so they went on their way. And on that way, then God did something else. He parted the Red Sea, for crying out loud. You know, Pharaoh was getting, he felt like he made a bad decision, business decision, when he lost all his help. So then he sent his army after him. You know, God parted the Red Sea. Children of Israel went through on dry land. And then when Pharaoh's army came in after him, God, whoosh, closed it back in and destroyed them. So here, their situation changed. God gave them some stuff, and they witnessed a mighty miracle on their behalf. Things are looking up. They should have felt significant. They should have felt important, because God had done these things just for them. Just like God does stuff for us sometimes. But even though all these things happened, then they came to a place of missed opportunity. Missed opportunity. Because as God brought them to a moment, we all are brought to a moment from time to time. There's a moment in our life that we're brought to this place where we have to make a decision. And that decision that we make at that moment is going to make a difference on how things are going to turn out, maybe for a period of time. So they were led to this moment. And not only did this moment affect their destiny, but it affected their children's destiny. Because what had happened is the fact that they came to a place where it was a crucible of decision. A crucible is something where something gets heated up and it starts to melt things, and then you can find the bad things and be able to wipe it off. And see, as problems, as this big decision, this big problem, they started to get worse and worse, and all of a sudden, they chose wrongly. Because big moments reveal character. Big moments reveal character. See, even though on the outside their circumstances changed, they were still the same on the inside. And that's a problem. Because when we look at things, you know, and we can maybe notice that things on the outside are changing and things like this, if we don't understand the concept that the real root is on the inside, that we need to turn that situation around, things will never change. Because what happened is that even though God delivered them from slavery, God gave them a bunch of stuff, God provided a big miracle, they had a grasshopper complex. The scripture said they seen themselves as grasshoppers, and then their enemy seen them like that. Did you know your self-image gives off a vibe? Gives off a vibe. What we are inside projects out of us. You know, there's some people that have a lot of stuff that have a bad self-image, right? You know, there's some rich people. People have got all kinds of toys, all kinds of stuff. But yet on the inside, they're still a grasshopper. And that self-image doesn't help them, because what happens is that they feel insignificant. as a people of Israel, they felt insignificant at that moment, and the big moment had come to them, and they felt irrelevant and unimportant, even though they should have known that they were God's chosen people, and God had called them to go in and possess that land. How many know if God says you can do something, you can do it? God said, this is your land, I'm giving it to you, go in there and possess it. And they chose not to, because they didn't think they could, because inside they hadn't changed. They were still that slave back in Egypt, looking to be taken care of and forced to do labor that they didn't really want to do. You and I make the same problem, because sometimes we focus on how big our problem is instead of how we need to focus on how big our God is. And that's going to bring us to the situation. Now, there's an illustration that I would like to use that many of you probably know. Not my favorite movie. Matter of fact, I haven't watched it totally for years. Is It's a Wonderful Life. Right? Most of you know that movie around Christmas time, I think, is when they show it. And a little bit about it. I ran across this illustration. You know, in the movie, George Bailey had a gift that he wasn't sure that he really wanted anymore, because that gift was the gift of life. And what had happened is that all his life had seemingly fallen apart around him. And some of you can relate to that. He just knew that he was going to lose his business. So with that business, that meant all his livelihood, and he was responsible for other people. And he faced, prison, you know, for something that he hadn't done. So everything was kind of unraveling around him. Now, in desperation, he went to his arch enemy, shall we say, which was Mr. Potter, and he wanted to get a loan from him on his life insurance, because he'd been paying life insurance. And Potter made a comment to him. He says, you know, you're worth more dead than you are alive. Some of you have some pretty good life insurance policies. Now, I kid about my wife. I says, I'm worth more to you dead than I am alive. And she says, no, you're not. I think she means it. I'm not sure. But you're worth more dead than you are alive. Well, then, we know that he came up with this great solution that we know he was going to jump off the bridge, right? Down into the icy water, he was going to die. Well, before he did it, God intervened and sent an angel. I want to say the angel's name was Clarence. Is that correct? Never met an angel named Clarence before, but that's all good. And so Clarence decided to show him some things, what it would have been like without him. Well, some of the things that had happened is that when he walked back through town, experiencing what it would have been life without him, he looked around in the town that he'd worked so hard to make clean and to build, that it became a place of ill repute, shall we say. A lot of things had just fallen apart in town. And then the pharmacist who George saved from a tragic mistake, he became the town drunk. His brother Harry, who he had saved from falling through the ice as a kid, had died. And then when Harry died, many of the people that he had saved in the war also died. And also we know that the beautiful wife that he didn't marry because he wasn't born, she became a wretched and dejected and lonely spinster. So the angel showed him what it's like without him. So I want us to understand the importance of how we see that our life can affect other people. We may not see it all the time, but we need to understand the fact how important we are, not only to God, but to those around us who may be counting on us that we don't even know about. That our life is significant, and that we can make a difference, and that God has a plan and a purpose for our life. And as you pour out your life in service to other people and to God, you know that things are gonna turn around, because our life does have meaning. Whether you want to accept it or not, God put you here for a reason. You're here for a reason. You're not an accident. And you never were, even though some may have told you that. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. But with that, I believe we have to come to some conclusions on our own to be able to turn it around, because life has decisions. Now, sometimes the reason why things happen the way they do is because when we enter into a phase of our walk and our life that we feel insignificant or unimportant. Now, sometimes it's just an attack from the devil, and that's just the way it is. You're going to get those from time to time. But what we have to understand is what causes us to feel that way is, number one, is that maybe we haven't got rid of that slave mentality. And what with that is that the children of Israel did not feel like a person, but they felt like a thing. Have you ever felt like at work or in life that you're just a number? You know, maybe you work at a large factory or corporation, and you're just one of many, and you look around, and you just don't feel like you're making a difference. You just feel like you're a number. And that's a bad way to get. That's a bad road to go down with your mind. Or maybe also you focus on the past rather than the future. We all have a past, right? The key is to get past your past. Because some of our pasts aren't that rosy, are they? And if we focus on those failures, we focus on those things that we maybe have done wrong, well, then that's going to cause us to feel insignificant. You know, the idea of plundering Egypt when they received the payback. You know, outward prosperity cannot fix internal problems. We have to be aware of that. You know, a lot of times people cover up their inferior mentality or their insecurities by buying things. Have you ever, or eating things. Have you ever felt inferior or not good about yourself? And you either go shopping, you go buy food, you know, you do crazy things to try to cover up or mask that pain. We self-medicate, right? We self-medicate ourselves with all these things of this world just to try to make us feel better about ourselves. But the goal is to let God come inside our life and reprogram us or rewrite our story so that we look at life and look at things around us in a different way. Because we've got to get beyond some of those things. You know, sometimes the reason why we feel insignificant is that we get like the children of Israel, where we're unappreciative. Now, I don't know about you, but if God had delivered me from slavery, given me a bunch of stuff, parted the Red Sea, gave me manna, I wouldn't whine about meat. Now, maybe I would, but they did. God had done all these things in their life, but yet they wanted more. More is not always better. So they were unappreciative, and with that unappreciative, that attitude, I think it overshadowed into their life. Also, they accepted negative talk. You know, the worst thing that we can do is to, you know, allow negative talk to be in our life or to be around negative people all the time that speak death into us and always speak the worst case scenario, because that makes us feel that way. And lastly is that, what I think that I want us to see today is that they rejected the presence of God. Now, that's hard for us to understand as being a born-again Christian because, you know, from us, from a New Testament mentality, you know, you and I understand, hopefully we do, the idea that when God comes into our life, He comes to live inside of us. You know, so it's different, but these people had just come out of that slavery thing and been set free, and in the process of time, they had an option, you know, and when God kind of scared them, you know, God was sounding, you know, up on the mountain, kind of thundering, and what had happened is that they rejected the presence of God in Exodus 20, verse 19. They said, "Moses, you go talk to God and tell us what He says, and then tell us." All the while, they could have had a deeper relationship with God. And see, that's the key to significance. To me, that's the one we need to get to, is the idea of we need to be in the presence of God. Because in the presence of God is fullness of joy. And if we choose to live in the presence of God and do whatever we have to do to get there, we're going to live a better life and we're not going to go through so many bad days. Because it's important, because the enemy comes at it. And it's at these little moments. See, that's what happened. A bunch of little moments added up in their life till the time they came to the big moment, and then they failed. And see, that's how it works with us. We go through a bunch of little bad things that are just kind of little, maybe insignificant in some ways. But then over a process of time, they chip away at us, they pile on, and then we get to the place of decision, and we're not ready. So how do we do that? How do we stay significant? How do we feel important to God? Well, here's a couple points. You know, focus on your freedom in Christ. Understand that, you know, you're a new creature, you're a new creation. You know, that there's freedom in Jesus, that we don't have to walk in bondage, held by the law anymore. But we're governed by grace. And it's God's life living inside of us. You know, focus on future opportunities rather than past failures. You know, the past failures, if you keep focused on those, now granted, you can look at them, see where you made a mistake so you don't do it again, but don't let that run over and over. Keep playing like an old movie over and over in your mind. Focus on new opportunities that God has for you, the things that He wants to bring you into. Remember also that it's not about more things, and that's a priority issue. Sometimes we try to, when we feel insignificant, that we try to make up for it with all kinds of stuff. And maybe we work extra hours or buy a house we can't afford or drive cars we can't possess, you know, that the bank owns more than they should have a piece of it. You know what I mean? So we got to be smart. Be smart in those things. You know, stay thankful. Be appreciative. You know, stay positive. You know, granted, we can go to negative people to help them, but you can't stay there. You can't live in that presence because they'll drag you down. And lastly, stay in the presence of God. How do you do that? Well, there's a couple opportunities. I mean, it's hard to pray all day long, isn't it? Tired tongue, dry mouth, right? Well, you can listen to praise music while you're in your car instead of that achy, breaky heart. Come on, stepping on a toe or two. Or Highway to Hell, for those of you who like old school. You know. Put on some praise music. You know, stay connected with other believers. Get prayer partners. Be with somebody who builds you up. No, I'm not talking about trading in your spouse, you know what I'm saying? If they're the negative one, you know, yeah, that's not where I'm going with this. But, you know, maybe bring in some positive people to your life that will, you know, be somebody that builds you up and speaks life to you. So you feel important, so you feel significant. You'll be involved with things that help you to feel that way. And as you do that, you know, you're starting to get on that, what I call a pathway to success, you know, in God's kingdom, where you're going to start to feel good about it. Closing, don't let the devil curse your identity, because that's what he wants to do. Once you come into the kingdom, he's not going to let go. He's going to try to curse your identity, so now you become ineffective because of self-image issues. So don't let him do that. You know, remember, you're created with a purpose, and don't let the little moments rob you of the big moments. Amen? Let's pray.